and Luke chapter 18, 9-14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ben. We're going to take a look at that now, but before we do, let me pray, because we need God's help to understand what's really at the heart of this passage. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace to us. May we be people who take hold of it fully and not rely on ourselves. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Super duper. Now, I'd love us to begin by thinking about a really straightforward question that I know we all do. We might not want to admit it, particularly in a church setting, but I know that we all do it because I see it all the time. Who do we look down on? Who do you look down on? Have a little chat with your family or your neighbours. Who are the people that when you see them doing something or you talk about them as a family or you're talking, you go, oh yeah, they're so odd. Oh. Who do you look down on? No judgment. But just talk about it. Give you a minute to do that. Okay. Brilliant. So lots of chat, lots of talking about it. So who would like to volunteer who they look down on? Jacob's hands up first. Arsenal fans, why Jacob? Because you're a Tottenham fan, you just can't explain it. It's just you look down on them. What else? Who else do we look down on? Which is not many people, is it, George? Because you're really good at rowing. You're really good at rowing, George. Okay. Can we go a bit further? Ian, you've got something? Oh, everyone said, ooh. Like, we don't do that. I can't believe it. Okay, yeah, fair. Do you want to elaborate at all? Middle laners. Yeah, you'd never do that, Johnny, would you? You'd be right in. Okay, yeah, middle lane drivers who don't turn over and it causes all sorts of trouble. World War III almost. Anymore. I've got some here written down. Just some things I thought up last night. What order shall we do them in? I put speeding. Because people drive along that road when we've got, as a unity, you did that, when we've got children walking along and they're going like 50 miles an hour and you can feel the air, it's really bad. And I've said several, oh, how awful are they? Judged, right? I look down on that. Speeding, there's one. I don't know where I'm going to put these. Parking. Have you seen those people who have very expensive cars often and they'll just park wherever they like because they know their speeding ticket. They've got so much money that a speeding ticket is like, they're just a rule for them. They'll just do whatever they like. The rules don't apply. I've not said kind things about those people in my heart at least. Judging them, right? Looking down on them. How awful are they? You might not be able to see that, remember? I put friends here in inverted commas. You know those people, maybe at school or at work or in any group really, who are quite actually mean, who say they pretend that they're like your friends, but are quite actually mean to you. And then when the teacher comes along, they're all like sunshine. And so nobody knows what they're really like, that they're horrible to you. I judge a lot of people. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Right, there's more. I won't go through all of them. Scammers. Yeah, they're awful. Just elderly people often, who aren't that clued up, they'll rip them off, take all of their money, and not care about it, it seems. Not good. Last one, because I know so many conversations. Certain political leaders who we will often say bad things about, privately or publicly. We might look down on that. I can't believe they're like that. How do they get with political leaders of whichever party you choose to disdain? Why do we look down on people like that? Why do we look down on them? I'm going to throw out, and not that controversial, but a bit of a blunt reason. I think it's because in those moments, we are better. We think we're better. Maybe in our heads we say, I always drive safely. Maybe we drive safer than the person who's with us. We just think we're better in that moment. Maybe when we think about ourselves, we think things like, maybe when we like might judge people who aren't Christians, we think, well, I serve at church. I give so much to church. I maybe even give my money to church. And deep down, somehow we've gone, I'm a bit better. Maybe, if we maybe judge bad neighbours or people around, we just think, oh, gee, I'm just a decent neighbour. I'm just a good guy. I'm better than those bad neighbours who keep me up at night. I would never do that. And there are all sorts of other reasons why we might think we're better. Guess what? Jesus told a parable about people who thought they were better than others. And so much better that God looked at them and went, you're a nice one. And looked at other people and said, no. It's really important for us to hear, because we often find ourselves looking down on people. And we need to be careful in our hearts. Luke chapter 18. If you've got a Bible in front of you, I know most of us can read here. So in Luke chapter 18, if you can grab it, just get to the right page. If you're not sure, just help your children do that if they're not there, because it's really good to just see things in the Bible, get familiar with it. 1052 is the page number. Chapter 18, verse 9. Look, it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, which means they thought they were really good people before God, that God thought, looked at them and went, you are decent, and looked down on everybody else. Huh. Jesus told this parable. Sounds like it'd be a good one to just spend a bit of time thinking about for 10 minutes or so. It involves two people. And we'll get them up separately, initially, or one then the other probably. So I'd love somebody to come up and volunteer as my perfect Pharisee. Anyone feeling like they'd like to give that a go? It's quite fun. Ian, judging other Christians, Ian, like no one else does, Ian, come on up. Come on up, my friend. Give him a round of applause. My perfect Pharisee. So here's the deal with the Pharisee. The Pharisee was like, well, it was somebody who is religiously important. So it's like a church warden. Or even better, a vicar. But in those days, they didn't have vicars. Can you get this on? So you might want to take your jacket off, Ian. Don't you? No? Yeah. You should take your jacket off, shouldn't you? We give you this as well, mate.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe the only time gets to wear one of these.
Surplus to requirements.
Yeah. So he would wear, the Pharisee would have wore distinctive dress that made him stand out because he was a religious person. I know, glad this is, the internet's not working, this isn't online, isn't it? I don't know, it's not all straight, let's get straight, mate. It's often, you need someone always to...
Stephen's got his camera out.
Yeah, get out, brilliant. So he would be redressed religiously because they were set apart. He'd given his whole life, a Pharisee, to serving God. A little bit like someone like a priest or a vicar today, you know, they give their whole lives to serving God in a special way. And so that was what a Pharisee was. And they were really bothered about God's laws. They were so bothered about God's laws. They spent all of their time being really carefully trying to keep God's laws and like paying so much attention to their life. And they were, and like, you know, fastidiously like checking they've covered everything, reading the Bible all the time, the Old Testament all the time, checking they've done everything they needed to do so that God would look down on them and go, nice one. You're doing it right. Nice one. It says in our passage, if you look at his prayer about the sorts of things he did, he said, Israelite people, they only needed, even Pharisees, only needed to fast once a year on a special day, which was called the Day of Atonement, when God provided this act which would take away the sins of the people. It symbolized take away the sins of people. So everyone would fast on that day. But this Pharisee was so bothered that on 2 days of the week, when someone said, do you want a chocolate bar? You'd have to say,
oh, no,
you're fasting. He's, oh, how good is that? Extra fasting. And the thing is, you think that, oh, how silly, he's fasting, you don't need to do it. But he wouldn't have been fasting just for himself. He'd have been fasting and praying because he's bothered about his nation and his people, that they follow God properly. It was a religious act. People would have looked and gone, oh, wow. I couldn't be like that. Wow. Wow. Also, I've got a little job for you here, Ian, because this makes me chuckle a little bit. It also said that he gave a tenth of all that he received, all that he got. Now, every Israelite was meant to give a tenth of their income back to the temple or the we understand it's the church, but they were meant to give a tenth back to God, so the institution, the temple. So when he got his paycheck, whatever Pharisee, however they get, they would just take a 10% and give it straight away. But the Pharisee, this Pharisee, he wouldn't just do it because he didn't know that all of the stuff he was eating and taking, that the people who gave it to him had given 10% of their income. So he made sure, so that he could be extra clean and holy, that everything he received, he made sure he gave 10% of. Made sure. So, for example, his lunch, of which we have a slice of bread, lovely, nice fresh bread, made that. And he thought we'll have a chocolate bar for pudding, but we're going to have beans on toast. So every time you had to receive something, someone has given this to you, you have to give a tenth back, okay? So I want you to give it a go. Here's your lunch, mate. I'll put the beans on here. And if you can just take a tenth of them, that'll do. You can just take a tenth of those and pop them in that bowl because we're going to give that back to you. Is that all right? You need to count them first.
Be a couple of minutes.
It's all right. You don't need to. Go on, have a little go. Have a guess.
There's about 10 there and there's about 100 there.
So yeah, yeah.
Bread as well,
you need a bit of bread, tenth of the bread, yeah. And you need a tenth of your chocolate bar as well. You can't eat all of that. You've got to give that back too. Thanks, Ian. Look at that. He's managed to do it. But can you imagine how like much attention you have to pay to everything in your life if you're going to do that? You'd probably say, don't give me beans, thanks, because I don't want to split up beans. But you're paying attention to every part of his life. Wow. How much effort do you think that took? Loads. Decent Pharisee, hey? Like putting loads of effort just to serve God. So that's the Pharisee. Are you happy to stand there for a little bit longer? Thank you. Next, we have a tax collector. Now, the tax collector was different. Theo, you keen? Your hand's gone? Yeah, come on up. Should we give Theo a round of applause? So I've got a much easier thing for you, Theo. So we've got a cool hat. Let me see if this fits you, my friend. Oh, it does just fine, thanks, Ian. Some cool sunglasses. Oh, he's looking cool. And here's the thing. Loads of cash, mate.
I've got
a wad. Let's put that in your top pocket, mate. Just get it like that. Oh, I like so much money. And so there you go. That's you. The tax collector, reckon, had cool threads on. Decent stuff. Cool shades. Because he's got loads of money. Money. The reason for that is, here's the problem. The Pharisees hated tax collectors. Because a tax collector was the same religion, meant to be, Jewish, from the same people. But the Romans had taken over Israel, the place where they lived. And they were the oppressors. Ooh. But they needed people to get some money to do taxes from the people. So rather than doing it themselves, they employed, sneakily employed, some tax collectors who would happily take money from their own people, harsh amounts of money, loads. So here's some money for you. You've got to give half. You go to, give me your money.
Give me your money.
Brilliant. Lovely. Now here's the thing. I'm a Roman, so I'm thinking, can I have my taxes, please? But you what you do, right? You take the taxes, but you take more than you needed, and than I needed anyway, and you'd give me some, but you'd keep the rest for yourself. So give me some.
Oh,
perfect. Perfect amount of tax. That's just what I needed. And you put the rest in your top pocket like that.
Yeah.
Everybody. You got it. And so he was laughing. He had a massive house. Loads of cars. They didn't exist, but he would have had loads of decent cars. Swimming pool where it's really hot. Heat wave. Aircon. The best aircon. Loads of cool clothes. And everyone hated them. Because they were like scammers. They'd take money from their own people for themselves and give a bit to the Romans and make loads of money for them. When everyone heard about a tax collector, they all shunned them. They all went boo. They were like pantomime villains. Nobody liked you, Theo. That's the problem. But you had loads of money and you didn't care. Money. Now, we've got our two people. Brilliant. You stand here. You stand there. Lovely. They're going to pray. Now, when we hear going to pray, you think, oh, they probably just went to kneel down and pray. But that's not what happened back then. They would go to the temple. There were two times in the day, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And that was when everybody went to pray. And people prayed audibly, like out loud, like coming to church. They prayed out loud. So the first person to pray was the Pharisee. And he said, he stood up and prayed. And in our version, it says he prayed about himself. Isn't that funny? He prayed about himself. He didn't pray to God. It says he prayed about himself. Huh. Because he is so good at doing all this and keeping all the rules. He's thinking about himself all the time, how good he is and stuff. So he prays this. You just mouth this for me. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, not like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, not like speeders or scammers or cowboy builders or dirty politicians or other people, or even like this tax collector. I'm not like him. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get, even my baked beans. And that's the end of his prayer. The tax collector, though, he's coming to pray. He's probably not prayed for a long time because he knows that what he's doing is not right. That's it. And he does this thing called beating his breast. Now, people only beat their breast when they were really sad. So it's like, oh. Head down, being breath. And you stood far away, so go over there. That'll do, all right. Head down, and you say this, just mouth this. You say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the word for mercy, it's not the same normal word. It means something like, God, take this guilt away from me. Take my guilt away from me. Because I know I've done so much wrong. Take it. I need you to take it off me because it's on me. Now, here's the thing. We probably know the end to this story, but it was really shocking when it was heard. Jesus says, of these two people, the person who spends so much attention to their religious life and spends all their time thinking about how they themselves and how they are good with God, or the tax collector who's cheated loads of people, which one of them is actually right with God? And it was the tax collector. Here's the thing, right? It's a bit like this. I want you to imagine that you've got two people and they're in their kitchen and all of a sudden a sewage pipe from above, I don't know why it would be above, but it bursts and it fills the whole kitchen, including covering the people. So it completely covers all over the people. All over. Sorry, Lee. Sorry, you don't. Okay. I just imagine I've done it. Imagine I've done it. He's covered all over with dirty, horrible, smelly, stinky sewage. It's on his hand, their hands, it's on their clothes. But the thing is, it's got one of them more than the other. One of them is loads filthier than the other. The tax collector, he's absolutely covered like twice, three times as much as this guy here. But the problem is, they're both covered. And there is only one way out of being covered with sewage. You cannot clean yourself because it's on your hands, it's on everything. You need somebody else to come in and take it off you, to wash it away, to deal with it, and to get it out into the sewer. Otherwise, you've got no chance. But the thing is, right, what the tax collector had been doing, the Pharisee had been doing in this story, he is also a sinful person. Even though he's spending so much time thinking about himself, he's still covered with sewage. Like all of us, we're all still sinful people, even though we might be decent neighbours or good people. He's not thinking about God, though. He's seeing that, actually, this guy over here, he's loads worse than me, therefore I must be all right. And he's spending all his time looking at how dirty the tax collector is. All the time. Look how awful he is. Look at me, at my deeds. Look how awful he is. And he's not doing the one thing he has to do to be made right with God, which is look up. And it's exactly what this guy says. He says, look up and said, I need you to take all of this off me. Take it off me. And that's why the religious person's not clean or forgiven or right with God, but the tax collector is. Can we give these two a round of applause? Thanks very much, Theo. I need the money back. So we've got to finish. How easy is it to look down on other people? How easy is it to look at ourselves and go, I'm better than them? And to, in our minds, in our hearts, just think, God thinks I'm all right. And then we get into an attitude and a habit where we forget that we need him to take off and take away our sin. So we start judging people. We start thinking we become stuffy and righteous. We lose the joy of forgiveness. And we start judging other people because we think we're better. But in reality, we all need a massive clean, which God and Jesus long to do repeatedly, time and time again. And that's the only way we're ever made right with God, which is such a wonderful thing. But for us, some of us, we're so used to it, we forget it. So why don't I pray that this would just be as fresh as it could be on our hearts and minds, that we are people who always need to be cleaned by Jesus, but he always cleans us. And it brings us deep joy, forgiveness, intimacy with God, and all the blessings of knowing him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this parable. Would it shake us and challenge us and help us to be people who return to our knees and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Would this set our hearts right that we might love people better with compassion and kindness and grace, not look down on others, but rather want to point them along them for them to understand how you offer forgiveness to everyone. We pray that in Jesus' name.